sins and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord doesn't get to search their hearts. He searches them. But he knows something already because he wrote about it. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he said, the Lord search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. There's a lot of those people up there that are as lost as a goose. Matter of fact, I suspect some goose might make it. But some of these folks up there, they are as lost as a goose and they are as mean as Hades. And you say, well, they had rotten parents because they were poor. I hope Holder's not out there listening to this. They said they had poor parents. He said, they don't have daddies. Well, their mother doesn't even know which father they had. And their mother didn't raise them right. You say, well, that's why they're like that. No, here's why they're like that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And that applies to both women and men up there. And now, they want to blame everything on my grandfather and my great-grandfather and all those people back there who mistreated them. They didn't mistreat them. I was there. And I didn't know what the word N-I-G-G-E-R meant until I moved to Little Rock, Arkansas. They went to separate churches. And the first time I ever saw them, I was about 5 years old. And I asked my granddad, I said, look at that. Those are chocolate people. That's how ignorant I was. And they went to church, and they didn't want to come to church with us. But I tell you, if a black man comes to this church and walks in here and wants to join this church, if the NAACP didn't send him down here and he wants to come and join this church, we'll be glad to baptize him, and he can be a legitimate member of this church, and we'll be overly nice to him. Now, I tell you, this mess up there, the reason I'm telling you that, I'm just telling you exactly what I think. And I'm not mad at those people. Are you mad at those people up there that are causing all that havoc? Well, I'm not. You say, why? Because I'm a Christian. You say, what are you doing, Brother Michael Murray? I'm praying for them. I'm praying that they will do what the Lord wants them to do. Because some of them are saved. You say, you can't do things like that and be saved. You can't make that judgment. Because I know a lot of people that were saved that were mean as the devil himself. And I'm convinced they're in heaven today. But the idea they had about how to live for Christ, they didn't have anybody. Now let's take this. Okay. Do you believe this? I do. Revelation 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things. Lord have mercy, you can say that better than I can. You know that the heart there is ekpsyche in the original language. It's translated the heart, and that's a perfectly good translation. But the soul is what it is. But your heart and your soul are so close together, I don't even know how to define it differently. But it's deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? The answer is God. You say, well, don't you know your own heart? I thought I did when I came up here. But I'm learning new things about my heart all the time. I've still got a carnal heart. I've still got it. Now, it says, even to every... and even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Okay. Now, if you believe that, and you lived on the outer fringes, would you go over there and join in the riot? That's all it is. It's an ethnic riot. It's an ethnic riot. Period. They say, well, it's not about black and white. It most certainly is. They say, well, we're poor. They should have gone through the Depression. My kids, I guess they get tired of me telling stories, but Lordy mercy, we were scratching for beans. And we didn't even have beans. We had collard greens. And we could get some. We could go out and get some corn ground up, and we could make some coarse corn, and we could put it in with those collard greens, and it was great and nutritious. I never complained. I was always glad when we had some. I didn't like possum, but, you know, you got something to eat, you're going to eat it. And the first toy I ever had at Christmas was a little toy about that long that you could put a little wood thing in front of it and shoot it. So big deal. I'm sorry, I'm not anti-black. I'm not anti-Spanish. But I don't like the idea. And my folks, my grandparents, my relatives, everybody else, we didn't think it was right for us to go down and get a handout when we believed some other people were in worse condition than we were. And my parents taught me that. And I was taught to respect blacks, and I did. And I was never allowed to call them N-I-G-G-E-R. What's wrong with these people up there? I'll tell you what's wrong with those that claim to be Christians. Colossians 3:23-25. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You mean to tell me Jesus was a rebel? You mean he was rebellious? There's a lot of people say he was a rebel. They write about it. You didn't see Jesus going around leading crowds and inflaming them to overthrow the Roman army. You say, well, he could have done that easily by himself. But he could have had the people do it. He could have spiritually led them, and they would overthrow the Roman army. Why are these Christians up there trying to treat those cops, those policemen, like a bunch of criminals? And why do they not want to hear a full testimony of what really happened? I'll show you why. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart. I tried the reins, even to the give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Down in Georgia and Alabama, they used to hang blacks, and it was wrong. Sometimes they hung the wrong man. It was wrong. But this is where I was raised. This is where I live. This is where I was called to pastor. Do you know what those blacks whose hearts are like Jeremiah 17, 9, 10 would like to do? They'd like to get to that man and take him out and hang him on a persimmon tree. Why? That's why all that's happening. And what is our president doing, and what is his attorney general doing? They're going down there, and in the end, they're going to cause more trouble than they're worth down there, and the blacks are going to get so inflamed, it's going to be even worse. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is, we better get ready for this. It's not going to affect us much down here. But I'll guarantee you that you're going to see now this stuff happening, popping up here and there, 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 more than it's ever popped up before. And I will tell you something else. According to the way I interpret Scripture, it's going to happen more and more and more. And at the time the final battle of Armageddon is fought, we're going to be in heaven. But all Hades is going to be breaking out down here. And it's not just going to be earthquakes, famine, pestilence. It's not just going to be all that. It's going to be man trying to kill man. And it's going to be right here in the United States. Thank God we won't be here. But this is coming. And I've been doing the best I knew how. I've prayed about it. I've asked God, Lord, don't let me put out my own personal opinions, my own personal ideas. Just help me to put out blogs that will maybe make Christians wake up and realize what they're about to face. And I guess if I had to title this thing, I'd probably put a title on it like this. Christians, don't be afraid of what's coming. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Stand up to it. So help me, after Vietnam, so help me, if I was back in my 20s or 30s, I'd go down and volunteer to go over there and I would learn how to shoot better than I can now. Because this is coming. And we're not prepared for it. But would I go over there and shoot anybody? Probably not. That's just wild talk on my part. But I can guarantee one thing I would do. I'd be mighty happy to have them put a bullet through my head because I was over there defending the truth. And I thank God for our missionaries that are over there right now, for Ernie Hopper and all those that... Ernie's back in the States now. But boy, if you think we've got trouble, they've got more trouble. Now, the spirit of Antichrist was there in the time of John. He's stronger now than he ever has been. The man possessed by the spirit of Antichrist is the epitome of religious helter-skelter. I know God doesn't call it helter-skelter, but did you know Charlie Manson was demon-possessed? You don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You got a man sitting right over there named Hammer. And he was in college. And he asked to go in and interview Manson. And he got to the door and Manson was just spitting at him. And he said, okay, Charlie. He said, now look, I can either come in here and interview you or I can just turn around and go back. But he said, it'd probably be helpful for you. Charlie said, okay. And he just brightened up and he came on in there. He talked to him for a long, long time. He said that man quoted more scripture than anybody he had ever heard in his life. And I went and looked up his interpretation of Revelation. Good Lord, I've never seen anything like it. See how bloodthirsty they were? Don't tell me he wasn't demon-possessed. And don't tell me those people over there that are beheading people aren't demon-possessed. And don't tell me that some of the people in that crowd aren't demon-possessed. Because you'll believe that right here in this auditorium you have demon angels are fallen angels, and you have God's angels, and we can't see them, but they can sure influence our soul. And if we're in this first category of Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10, he can possess them if God allows it. So we are headed for a strange, serious period of time, and we're just going to have to do the best we can. We're going to have to love one another, stick up for one another, be merciful to one another, and forget ourselves and start remembering what these people out there that don't know a horn-toed frog from a bulldog that are saved, so that maybe they'll start to understand what's coming and they won't be afraid of it. My message is don't run away. Don't be afraid of any of this. You have nothing to fear. You say, well, if I die, I'll just die. Forget about that. You'll go up to heaven. Man, you'll be under the altar seat probably. And then that'll be wonderful. And when he'll give you a robe ahead of time. Rest of us be waiting down here. We won't have any robe. So think about that. I'm glad Imogene's up there. She didn't get to be martyred, but I guarantee you she would have. Myself, I'm not all that sure of, but I know I think I would. Now, he says, Manson's tortured spirit said Helter Skelter was coming, plus tried to start it by himself. I don't agree with any of his Bible exposition. I've never heard anything like this exposition he's got in Revelation. Worldwide mob violence and ethnic cleansing. Now, worldwide mob violence, I would say, probably on those that are saved and those that are lost, I would guess at 50-50. But if the cleansing, where they cut off their head, I would say 99% plus some kid that happened to wander in and he's trying to find a way to escape has descended on the last living generation. This is the final generation. You say, you don't know that. I'm telling you it's the final generation. You say, well, you might be wrong. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, that's what I'm sure of. But I could surely be wrong. What those people up there need to do is start being concerned about what's coming on this earth. And the Christians, well, the others ought to too if they get saved. Because look at, they know what they were facing. They're not going to be, you think at the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to be up there complaining? You think they're going to stand out there and have a march in front of the great throne and say, we want our rights, we want our rights. They're not going to be up there. You say, well, which ones are those? That's the Jeremiah 17, 9, 10 crowd. You say, well, what about the others that are there? Well, there won't be any of that Jeremiah 17, 9, 10 there. But you'll have some of these people in the second thing, and they're not going to be in any mood to get up in front of the judge. And here come the judge. And the judge is Jesus. And they're not going to put up any riot. They're going to be down on their knees, and they ain't going to be throwing up their arms in the yard or yelling hallelujah. So this is something that is real, it's genuine, and I want, by the grace of God, to warn as many people as I can, and I want this church. I think God wants this church to be counted on in this time. Look how much He's learned us. He's taught us. Look how much He's taught us. Just look at how much. Think about it. And think about all these other people down here at the First Baptist, over at the First Baptist over there, and some of these churches that aren't even scriptural but have a lot of saved people in them. Think about them. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ if they're saved, and they don't know a bullfrog from a toad frog or a horned toad. Well, maybe in these last days we'll get a chance to tell them. But right now, they're falling away from the church more than they're coming into it. Now, let's see. A believer who interviewed Manson told me Manson quoted many Bible verses. Satan is evil propagator of ethnic cleansing, a divider of ethnic groups and savage hatred. That's what's going on right now among the followers of Islam across the whole Mideast. The spirit of Antichrist is growing stronger worldwide and has manifested itself violently in its new Middle East caliphate and to a lesser degree in Missouri. I'm not trying to compare the one in Missouri with the one over there. Man, this one over there has got, he's got Satan's generals over there, because that's where the seat of Satan is, in the upper Tigris and Euphrates and over into Syria, and that's exactly where all this slaughter is happening. It will end in Missouri. It will. It ended out in Los Angeles. It ended down there in Florida. It'll end, but will pop up more and more elsewhere. You say, why do you say that? The Bible indicates in the last days it's going to be just like this everywhere. In the old world, beheading will become a common event. I preached on beheading over there 25 years ago. I told you why they did it, and I told you where it came from. It doesn't come directly from the Quran. It comes from what they call a hadith, which are those who heard Obama say that. And then they added that to his writings. Well, it's what they believe. That's what they are. They're the most ungodly human combination I've ever seen in my life. I'm glad I didn't meet any of these people over there. I didn't meet any of them. I met some Kurds, and not many, but I liked the Kurds. They were very friendly, and I could tell their feeling for me was genuine. And that's why if you read my internet, I got some doctors reading my internet now, dentists. If you read my internet, I put on there exactly what was going to happen and tried to warn people, this is serious. And Obama is just, he's not going to send our troops back over there. He wants to have a great legacy. He better watch out. I hope he's saved. I mean that with all my heart. I pray for him. I do. I pray for him. And I hope he's saved. But there's going to be a lot of politicians in hell. That's all I got to say. I'm not saying he's going down there, but I'm telling you what, he sure doesn't show any great signs of Christianity. He shows a lot of conceit, pride, and he has no honor in his heart toward Christians. He has a bunch of people up there that come and meet with him that probably are worse off than they think. He'll probably arrest me now. Helter Skelter is the demonic hatred that lives in the hearts of false religionists. It has descended en masse on mankind in these last days of perilous times, particularly in larger cities where different ethnic cultures clash, like up in Missouri and right there in the, around St. Louis. Now, the way I pronounce this, and there's three or four different ways it's pronounced, so I don't think anybody knows how to pronounce it, so I'm going to give you a shortcut. It says I never had a sister. Now when I see her, I say, I sis. That's it. You say, well, I'm going to try another way. You'll get all mixed up. You can remember yourself, because we're all self-centered. I, pronoun, and sis, for sister, I sis. If somebody tells you that's wrong, tell them I heard this loud voice say, out of the woods, I sis. Well, didn't God tell Moses he was I am? See? You can remember it that way. Sometimes I get mad at myself. Let's see. ISIS is now shedding the blood of those who will not convert to their Islamic beliefs in the Middle East. And both believers and Jews are being persecuted in the old world of the Bible. Paul wrote about man's end time chaotic personality changes. Man's increasing carnality was to inflame his hatred toward anyone of a different race, color, creed, or religion in these last days. Okay. You want to know what they're like? Both Jeremiah 17:9-10, they're much worse than Colossians 3:23-25, because some of them down here are saved and they're just not following the Lord. They're not doing what they do for the Lord. How do you know that? Man, I did that for a long time. I did it in ignorance, and God completely overlooked it and forgave me. I just didn't know any better. But anyway, here's what they're like. I don't know anybody in our church like this. But I guarantee you I could go up there, and if they were willing, I'd round up a whole bunch of them and put them in jail. 2 Timothy 3:1-8. This know also. And they're right here in the United States, too. And I'm just not talking about ethnic. I'm just talking about self-centered people who don't care a rip about anybody except themselves. You're not like that. You say, well, I am. Well, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you thought that. Because don't get to thinking that you aren't. I know I'm self-centered. You say, well, you're saved and you're our pastor, but I'm still self-centered. Why? I've got a carnal nature. And so whenever something comes up, I have to pray about it and ask the Lord, is this me being self-centered? Or am I right? If I don't get an answer back, I assume I'm wrong. If he doesn't convict me, and then I just have to decide on my own. Sometimes he just lets me do that. Here's what it's like. The last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, my goodness gracious. I didn't get caught, so they never thought I was disobedient. My brother Gary, he got caught all the time, and they thought he was disobedient. I started to give him a training course on it, but no, I thought, that'd be awful to do to your brother. And furthermore, they're so busy chasing him, they'll leave you alone. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Man, how many murders have you seen with these guys that are narcissistic? Without natural affection, truce breakers. Do you think Hamas might be classified as a truce breaker? False accusers. Oh, Lordy mercy. In school, I had what I call instant lie. Anytime you said, who did this? Not me, Mr. McAvey! Not me, not me, not me! And I mean, the whole class just go down like a chain reaction. And I'd say, Well, I think it's pretty good. And they put something on the board. I did pretty good artistry. I said, it's pretty good. And one old boy in the back, he said, I did it, Mr. Michael Murray. So, you see, there's a thing called an instant lie. You know anything about the instant lie, Mike?
No.
Oh, good. Good. Incontentant, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Why do they hate us so much? Because we found out that the only good man who ever lived was God himself. That's why he told that man. He said, why callest thou me good? Jesus knew exactly what he's going to say. But wouldn't it have been wonderful if he had said, only God is good? I'm telling you, Jesus would have probably took him aside like they did when I finally got 100 on a spelling class in the second grade. The first one I'd ever had in 2 years. And she took me around to all the classes in the school. And showed, she said, Tom got 100. And I didn't cheat. Well, after that, I started getting a lot of hundreds. I found out I got attention if I got hundreds. You say, well, that's wrong. No, it's not. No, it's not. Ms. Ford, when I was in the fourth grade, down at Bauxite, she'd come by. And I wrote about like my grandmother, about like my grandmother, Michael Murray. Oh, it was awful. And she'd come by and she'd say, Tom? I'd say, yes, ma'am. She'd say, I want you to feel this. Stretch out your hand. I'd stretch it out. And man, she would lay it on me with a ruler she carried with her, and it hurt. She said, are you going to try to do better? I said, yes, ma'am. But I thought, after this thing heals. And so, but I was lucky. There was a guy named Bob Rose sitting about four seats behind me, and his hand must have been horrible. And she hit him on his head with that thing. Back then, you know, they'd have put her in jail, and they'd have said she had a compulsion, and his family would have sued today. Well, in any case, you would be amazed how many people, when I became an adult, said I had beautiful handwriting. Didn't I, Mike? It's classic, beautiful. But now I know why Grandmother McElmurray wrote that way. It looked like a hen walked across the thing. Now, here we go. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, you're going to have to decide on that yourself. I think you love God more than you love pleasures. But this time, I don't want to make you mad. I might be wrong. And you say, well, you might be what you're accusing us of. I think you're right. As long as you realize, or as long as you feel guilty, because you love pleasure more than you love worshiping God, you are the one who has to decide that. But on the thing about truth breakers, things like, no. Without, no, you don't. I think you're all great. And once in a while, I think I live up to that. Why? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. By the grace of God, we've learned to do that. And we're still learning. And it's something that's the most important thing. At first, that's why we wouldn't be up there going around with those people. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the Christ of cross should be none effect. He said, but unto us that believe, it is the power of God. So what's that talking about? They believe they can lose their salvation. The power of God is to keep what he saves. That is the power of God. And how many people that are going to church tonight and will go to church next Sunday, and how many people all over the earth that will go to a church, whether it's scriptural or unscriptural, that believe, how many will go, that believes They can lose their salvation. Is that trust in God? That is a direct slap in the face of Almighty God, the one who has their soul sealed it. They were saved by His power, but they don't think He has enough power to keep them saved. That's pitiful. I remember one time when I was like that. Why am I not like that now? For it is Christ which dwelleth in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It says, and the power from such, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Forgive me. I am not racially prejudiced. If my wife fell in love with a black man, I would not fight it. If one of my granddaughters did, I would not fight it. That's the truth. Have I always been like that? No, no, no. Why am I different now? For it is Christ which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Would I rather she marry a white man? Yes, I would. So you say, well, you are racially prejudiced. Yeah, to that extent I am. When you see a black man and a white man fighting, who do you usually root for? The white man. So you see, I never have gotten all of it out of my system. And so I'm telling you that. But do you know what they do over there, these Muslims that are the terrorists? They take the women out and they rape all of them. Or they behead them. What about the black community? Why do you think those kids don't have fathers? Those black women may have 10 children from 10 different fathers. That's not right. But she's trying to raise them. You say, well, who's paying for them? The American taxpayer. You say, are you opposed to it? No, I don't want to see them die. I'll just pay my taxes. If they want to use them to feed them, go right ahead. But these are the people that are up there rioting. And God knows white people have been helping them for a long, long time. So, this is a hard society to live in. And some of our children are being influenced by it to where they think some of this is okay. It's not okay with God. You say, does you think God minds us paying our taxes in and they being given to poor women with a lot of children? Well, that's something you'd have to ask God. But I would say, and God's listening, I would say God doesn't mind that nearly as much as He minds them getting pregnant with every man they meet. And He doesn't appreciate those fathers going off and leaving them with one woman and 10 children. So God doesn't approve of that. But God picks up the pieces. And we don't want those children starving to death. So I don't mind. If they want to use my taxes for that, go ahead. But I have a right to vote for who I want. And if my candidate doesn't win, I don't go down there and carry a placard back and forth. Because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I want people to know I'm a Christian. I am. I hope I'm a disciple. I'm trying to follow Him. Disciples try to do what is merciful and compassionate, because that's what our God did for us. Believers wrestle against the spiritual rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Isis is the servant of the wicked one. That's the same one that's over in 2 Thessalonians that's the Antichrist. And it's going to be an Islamic Antichrist. And he's all these things that you just read about the characteristics. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but against principalities. That can go either way. It can be both principalities and high places, or it can be government. We wrestle against some of the men that we have in office, especially that lady that got bombed, and they showed her being arrested. And even if I didn't know what happened, that's the most evil-looking woman I've ever seen. But that's wrong. I shouldn't say that. But this is interesting. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, the devil is the prince of the air. And spiritual wickedness in high places. A lot of those people are up there right now protesting. And they're giving the police Hades. And sure, policemen aren't perfect. And sure, they lose their temper. But if you think that uniform that they're wearing up there makes them unafraid. I wore a uniform. I wore jungle fatigues. And I'll guarantee you, when they started shooting, I was scared to death. And the only reason I didn't run is because I had a great big black, he was an E9 poo, just like me. And he was standing there, and I followed him everywhere he went. And he put his hand over on me, and I lost my racial prejudice right there. He was the adjutant to the, not the officer adjutant, but the enlisted adjutant to the colonel. And the colonel and I were great buddies. He gave me a lighter, and I lost the thing, and it hadn't. Special forces on it. He was the nicest guy I ever met. He treated me like a prince. And I learned to love officers then. And I kid you all the time, but man, I had some good officers. And I only had one bad one. He wanted to make general. And so I just worked my latus rectum off for him. And I was already E9. But I was anxious to see him make general. I'll tell you why. They would have had to move him to another place. Okay. Here's the judgment seat for the saved. Some of those people up there are going to be there that are doing all this stuff up here. They're saved, but they're going to be here at this one. But I think this is all going to be taken into account when that happens, and God's going to judge them. I can't judge them. I'm not supposed to. I vote. And that's the only way I have of judging them. The judgment seat of Jesus for the saved. Revelation 11:18. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead." Now there's a judgment just before this, so I went way down. This is down beneath there. "And I caught the people that were lost. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead." I'm on the wrong one. I mean, forget what I said. Let me go here. "The great white throne judgment of the lost. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." There will be some judged just before this out of the millennial reign. But this says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death, "and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now let's talk about which one of those this fits. Here they are. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, judge the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Their doings are sending them straight to hell. And unless they come to Christ and receive forgiveness, those people that have been saved, when they go up there and do this stuff, you'd be surprised how little reward they're going to get at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the one that I've been talking about that I told you I made a mistake. This is small print. I didn't want to have to waste stuff on the more paper on it. Now here are the saved. Now some of those people up there are saved, but they go to churches. They don't have any more idea who Jesus is than Moody's Goose. Revelation 11:18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Thou shalt give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, they'll be there, the saints, the saved, to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Those people being destroyed on the earth are found at the great white judgment, great white throne judgment of the lost. So, well, I'll be. No, let's go back up to the top. In the Christian religion, the general term that seems to be accepted is minister. In the Islamic faith, ummah is the best general term. Some Muslims use the term ulama, to describe only the body of Muslim scholars who have completed several years of training and study of Islamic disciplines such as mufti, qadi, faiq, or muhaddin. Muhaddin, that's it. You know, when I was over there, those terms weren't from, I didn't know what they meant. I just called them all clerics. They didn't like that, some of them. For them, the status of ummah requires higher standards. Under this definition, ummah are Islamic scholars trained in the whole body of Islamic law. However, other Muslims are all included in this category are clerics, that's what I called them over there, who may be village mullahs, and I did know some village mullahs over there, and imams, I knew that. But this first part up here, man, that's too high class for me. I guess I never got seen it. Who have attained only the lowest rungs on the ladder of Islamic scholarship. They all fit into the description found in 2 Corinthians 11:13-5. Now, this applies to false apostles at the time it was written by the Apostle Paul. But I guarantee you, this is what it applies to. It applies to them. I guarantee you that these clerics and these other high-polluting fellows, and I guarantee you across this world, there are lots of false apostles. And they're ministers that are ministers of Satan. They don't call themselves apostles. A few do. But they are deceitful workers. They're ministers of Satan, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They put themselves into the leadership position over the churches. They're called bishops in the Catholic Church. And no marvel. And the head one is the Pope. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I like the Pope. I would rather have a man like him in it than a man like the guy that's cutting off heads down there. But the truth of the matter is, they are ministers of Satan because they do not teach the truth, and they are influenced by demonic angels that have fallen to the earth. No great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Hell's a big place. I can't prove this. I don't know it to be true. But I have a suspicion that there's going to be people in hell that won't get as much sorrow and sadness and punishment as these yahoos that are cutting off Christian heads who follow a false God and a false prophet. Now, God makes that decision, not me. And if I get up there and I discover I'm wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. But that's what I think. The murders perpetrated by members of Charles Masson's family were inspired in part by Mason's belief in Helter Skelter, an apocalyptic war he believed would arise from tension over racial relations between blacks and whites. Well, old Charles, you know the devil can read the Bible. He may not be able to understand everything it says. And Charles Manson could be demon-possessed, and demons have a partial awareness of what's happening. There was a little girl that followed Paul and his sidekick.
Was it Silas?
Silas. He follows him around saying, These are the prophets of the Most High God. Hear ye them. She was possessed by a demon that probably had been under Gabriel. He carried messages. I doubt if all the demons will receive the same punishment in hell. Some of them be in the hottest place with the devil, but others may be not too bad. And I suspect some of the popes, that the Pope, he may have a pretty nice place down there. Still be hot, and he'll sweat a lot, and he'll never get out. There won't be any ethnic race riots demanding civil rights, saying Jesus won't be just in his judgment, being held back by riot-controlled police. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The Pope is a perfect angel of light. I mean, I like him. The people would die for him. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. The Catholic Church preaches righteousness harder than any other church I know, whose end shall be according to their works. The murders perpetrated by the members of Charles Manson's family were inspired in part by Mason's belief in a helter-skelter. In a apocalyptic war, he believed would arise over tension between racial relations between blacks and whites. The chimerical. Did you ever hear that word before? Chimerical? Donna, would you like to know what it is? Oh, you want me to tell you what it is? Sure. Let's see what oh Lord. It's a she devil. And I won't tell you what the Greek word means. I just looked this up today. It means, oh Lord, I can remember scripture I learned when I was, but it's a she-devil. And it means they have a very evil point of view. And then it gives the definition. And it says, it means they are excitable, and they are excitable and unreliable. Why don't you ever tell her that, Ken?
Because I didn't know.
Well, I'm not going to go through the rest of it. You can read that yourself, and it's time to go home. But you can read that for yourself. If anybody ever would like a copy of what of his inscriptions, what he actually translated in the book of Revelation, I'll run you off a copy. I got interested in him a long time ago. I followed everything he did.